Okay, thank you so much for having me here today. Like she said, my name is Melissa Peskin, and I'm here to present on It's Your Game Tech, which is a web-based HIV, STD, and pregnancy prevention program for middle school students. And this was a study that was funded by the National Institutes of Mental Health. And I have no disclosures. And before I begin, I would just like to acknowledge the huge team that we worked with. Two of my very esteemed colleagues are in the audience, Dr. Ross Shigog and Jeff McLaughlin. Dr. Shigog was the principal investigator with me on this project, and we had a large team, and Jeff McLaughlin from Radiant, who was the animator, helped really bring this program to life. And then, like everyone has said, working with the community, working with our consumers was, of course, very important. And so I want to acknowledge our teen advisory board that we had, a community advisory board, and the school district that we worked with as well. So we haven't talked too much about youth today, but what we know is that although teen birth rates have been declining over the years, that in the U.S. we still have among one of the highest teen birth rates of all developed countries. And we also know that young people are engaging in sexual behavior at young ages. So by ninth grade, we know that about a third of high school students have ever had sex. And so there are a growing number of programs, effective programs out there for adolescents to help delay their initiation of sexual behavior, reduce teen pregnancy, and reduce sexually transmitted infections and HIV. And there are even some effective middle school programs as well. But what there aren't are, there are not too many sexual health programs for middle school students that are completely computer-based. And as we know that there are many benefits to technology-based applications, we know that this is the medium that youth engage in. There's a ubiquitous appeal. We also know that technology-based interventions can help bring about increased program fidelity. We also know that these type of interventions can reduce implementation costs and that they also can help increase the reach of an intervention as well. And so our goal was to adapt and evaluate the effectiveness of an internet-based HIV, STI, and pregnancy prevention program for middle school youth. And this was youth ages 12 to 14 in 20 middle schools across the Houston area. So It's Your Game Tech is adapted from It's Your Game, Keep It Real, which is a nationally recognized effective HIV, STI, and pregnancy prevention program for middle school youth. It is a classroom and computer-based intervention, so it brings together both types of modalities. It's been evaluated in two randomized controlled trials, and we have shown delayed initiation of sex, increased condom use, increased positive beliefs about abstinence, increased confidence to refuse sex, increased intentions to abstain from sex, and reduced dating violence. But this curriculum, although it is effective, we thought that we could bring about even more reach with this type of a program if we converted it to a completely computer-based intervention. So the model behind It's Your Game and It's Your Game Tech was that we wanted to, of course, delay sexual debut, increase condoms and contraception, decrease number of sexual partners, and get young people to get tested. We knew that some of the proximal determinants of those behaviors was that we needed young people to have healthy friendships and healthy dating relationships, and we wanted to reduce their intentions to have sexual behavior. We knew that that was influenced by their knowledge, beliefs, perceived norms, perceived risk around sexual behavior and abstinence, recognizing that most teens their age are not having sex, and that we knew that all of those behaviors are influenced by self-efficacy. And then even more distally, we knew that these proximal determinants are influenced by problem solving, personal control, communication skills, decision-making skills. And so It's Your Game and It's Your Game Tech are based on the premise that if we can change some of these distal determinants, we can help give them the skills to have healthier behaviors to delay sexual behavior. And then, of course, we know that all of this doesn't occur in a vacuum, that young people are influenced by their social environment as well. So in thinking about It's Your Game Tech, it uses the same premise and theme from the original program, and we do that by saying that When we talk about your game, we're talking about your life. And when we're talking about keeping it real, we're talking about being respectful and being healthy. And that in order to keep your game real, you have to respect yourself and respect others, and you also have to play by your rules. And to play by your rules, you have to select your personal rules ahead of time, detect signs or situations that could challenge your rules, and then protect your rules. So use refusal skills or alternative actions to avoid the situation or get out of a risky situation. And so it was actually a pretty long and detailed process for taking the original It's Your Game program and converting it into a completely computer-based version. What we did is we used a process called intervention mapping, which is a process that uses both theory and empirical evidence to understand what changes behaviors. So we really wanted to understand what are the behaviors that we're trying to change and what are the determinants. And so, and those results are published by Dr. Chigog. And we also found that that in our pilot studies that people found this mode acceptable, very feasible, and really enjoyed playing the program. So It's Your Game Tech has a 13-lesson scope and sequence. We start off by introducing the It's Your Game program, getting young people to determine their personal strengths, and getting them to understand what the characteristics of healthy and unhealthy friendships are, introducing the select, detect, protect paradigm. And one of the really unique things about this program and the It's Your Game program is that we don't immediately go into talking about sex. It's really a decision-making curriculum where we teach young people really how to make good, healthy decisions and really to understand what their personal rules are, not only about sex, but also about other things that they are encountering in their life. So they learn also about characteristics of clearly saying no. Then we have a whole lesson on understanding your body, anatomy, lesson 6 on characteristics of healthy and unhealthy dating relationships, lesson 7, the consequences of sex, the reasons to wait. This is what you would call an abstinence plus program. So the major goal is to get young people to delay initiation of sex, but a secondary goal is to reduce risk among those young people who are already sexually active. So we do emphasize reasons to wait. We next talk about communication and negotiation skills practice, have information and activities on internet communication and safety, consequences of teen pregnancy, STI, HIV, condoms and contraception knowledge, more about select, detect, protect, condom negotiation, and then finally really personalizing their reasons for not having sex. And so the original It's Your Game program was 24 lessons, 12 lessons in the 7th grade and 12 lessons in the 8th grade, and we were able to hone that down by still covering all of the objectives that we covered in the original program into a 13-lesson computerized curriculum. So the lesson sequence, we tried to follow the same sort of format in each lesson by covering the lesson objectives, providing a recap of previous lessons, having young people watch a kind of a real-world serial where they're following the same young people over time and watching them make decisions, a lot of interactive activities, information transfer, so not only trying to increase their knowledge about these behaviors and unsafe behaviors, but really try to increase their skills as well, so we have some skills training. And these are some of the screenshots of some of the activities. We use a lot of different intervention methods and strategies. So like I mentioned, we use information transfer, so to increase their knowledge. At the top left is a short animation that talks about what a young boy goes through when they're going through puberty. We have a similar animation for young girls. We also have a really fun animation on steps to correct condom use, where we have talking condoms. We also have activities that focus on modeling, so trying to really change their norms about different behaviors. So we have peers who talk about the importance of, you know, waiting until they're older to have sex and how it's not necessary to have sex to be in a relationship. You don't need to have a boyfriend or girlfriend to be in a relationship. And then below, the real world cereal that I mentioned. And then you might wonder, how in the world do we try to promote skill building in an interactive version? So one of the main important things about classroom curricula is that you can get the students up practicing. They can practice their skills. They can do role plays with each other. And so what we did for the computerized version is we created these virtual role plays where they were able to virtually practice their skills. And then finally, other activities where they could select, detect, and protect their personal rules. So we evaluated this curriculum in a randomized controlled trial. We started with 8th grade students and followed them into 9th grade and then 10th grade. We had 20 schools. We brought in laptop computers, and students did the intervention on laptop computers. There was no facilitator instruction. And this was one of the things that we were trying to minimize for this version of It's Your Game. We looked at many outcome measures, sexual behavior, as well as many psychosocial variables, some of those determinants of sexual behavior. We found that the sample and baseline was predominantly female. We had a predominantly Hispanic population, and the mean age was about 14. We found that at baseline in 8th grade that we had about 12% who indicated that they had ever had oral sex, about 15% indicating vaginal sex, about 6% indicating anal sex, and almost 20% any of these types of sex. And importantly, there were no differences between the intervention and control groups. Unfortunately, we did not find any impact on sexual behavior with this intervention. And one of the reasons why we think is because we had very low program coverage. So although one of the benefits of computerized applications is that you can promote increased reach, doing it in the school setting with as much planning as possible, we still were not able to get a majority of students to complete all 13 lessons. In fact, only about 14% of our students in the trial completed all 13 lessons. And so we think that this is one of the reasons why we didn't have impact like we did in the original program. However, we did have some significant impacts on some psychosocial outcomes. So students who participated in IYG Tech had more positive beliefs about waiting to have sex until marriage. They were more likely to perceive that their friends had positive beliefs about abstinence. They were more likely to agree that most teens wish they'd waited to have sex and that most teens their age were not having sex. We had increased condom use, self-efficacy. We also increased their knowledge about HIV and STI. So we did have some positive psychosocial impact. And then because we knew that a large percentage of our intervention students did not actually receive the full intervention, we did some post-hoc analyses, some exploratory analyses to see what happened among those young people who received all 13 lessons, that's the full condition, whether they received a high number of lessons, so that would be 9 to 12 lessons, medium, 5 to 8 lessons, and then low, 1 to 4 lessons. And what you can see from these results is that those students who received about 5 to 8 lessons, so in the medium exposure group, they were about 60% less likely to initiate sex than those students who received a low amount of lessons. And then we found that those who received the full dose, so who received all 13 lessons, they were about 80% less likely to initiate sex than those who received only 1 to 4 lessons. So some positive, suggestive of some promising effects for those students who actually did receive the intervention in the trial. So some conclusions are that we know that additional evaluation is needed. We need to test this intervention in another randomized controlled trial and ensure that all young people receive the intervention. However, we do think that It's Your Game Tech represents an innovative approach to sexual health education. Although there were no effects in the full trial on behavior, we had several other effects that were, we think, very suggestive of intervention promise. That's it. you.
We're going to invite questions at this point, and actually, if you would step up to answer the questions if someone asks it of you, so that we can record that as well, that would be very helpful.
So we do have data on that. We haven't looked at it yet. All the facilitators that participated in the intervention had to log their contacts. So whatever efforts they made as far as calling the participants and reminding them to watch the intervention, you know, we have that information recorded for all the families. But I don't have it available with me now. No, we really haven't taken a look at it at all. Yeah, thank you.
I do want to mention that so we struggle mostly with retention for sessions. There were some differences per counselor. I think working in a future trial, for example, closely with counselors speaking to the counselors who'd had most success and using those strategies would be useful. So that's all I could contribute. We had our recruitment was on schedule, so luckily for this one time it worked.
Yeah, so those are all really great questions. So we've been working in this particular school district for over 20 years. So we have really good relationships with the school district. And so actually getting into the schools and recruiting the schools was not that challenging. Each school is sort of its own entity. So what works in one school doesn't work in another school. And so we were very flexible in terms of working with the schools in terms of what class period would be best. So in most schools, it was their health and physical education classes that we worked through. And we did provide incentives to all of the schools also for their assistance. And so we're still really trying to figure out what happened because the team worked just as hard as they always do to get the students into the classes. What we did is we don't go into intact classes. We have to pull the kids into a class, so only those students that have parental consent can actually come into the classroom. And so we know that with this time around, we know that the team spent more time trying to find the students and bring them into the classroom. That took up a lot of time. The lessons were too long. They really needed to be a little bit shorter to provide more time for us to bring those students into the classroom. And then just over the years, the schools have become just much more, of course, emphasized on the academic testing. And so if a student needed to be, you know, with their tutoring, they couldn't come to our lesson. And so that was another challenge that was even greater than it had been with the previous trials as well. And so it's just become very much more challenging to work with school districts. And I think that if we were going to do it again, we would have to just provide greater monetary incentives to the school districts for their assistance in helping us, you know, get this completed. So, any other?
That's
So just anecdotally, I think that having a series really engages the families. A lot of the families express excitement about, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? And, you know, what's going to happen to her at the end of the story? And are the particular characters in our storylines, she's at risk for contracting HIV. And so overall, participants have told us that they really enjoy watching the telenovela and that they looked forward to what was going to, you know, take place. Yeah.
And I'll just quickly add that we used both. So we had the serials throughout, and we have students who get, of course, really invested in the stories. And then we also have little short stories throughout as well. So we use both strategies. Yeah, that was never really an issue. We didn't have any parent opposition, so it didn't really play a role at all with this particular study.
Do you see it happening?
We see it. We just recently, so in all the years we've been doing these, we just recently had some controversy over some parental, and it was just one particular school district that had an issue. And so that's really the only time it's ever happened. But overall, we've been very successful in getting the interventions in the school. And the parents who see it really like it. Well, there's 13 sessions, and so the idea is that they complete them in 13 different instances. So, and we give the schools the flexibility that, you know, if they want to do it every day for 13 days, or if they want to have students do it twice a week, you know, whatever works best for the school district. They were about 35 to 45 minutes, but really they needed to be about 25 to 30 minutes. With additional funding, but right now it stands where it's at. But it's been a lesson that we've learned in developing future interventions.
Facebook has
anyone can advertise. There's an option. It appears to the side, and we did target. You could target it for different groups by age. We targeted for young men and also those who indicate in their profiles that they're interested in men. At some point, we also had variations where we opened it to all men of these, in this age group. And we made clear that it was for gay and bisexual men, men who have sex with men. So not just everyone would click. You pay per click, so every day, it builds up. And then in Grindr, there are options for pop-up ads for 24 hours. And when somebody opens the application, they can see it and they can click on it. All the screening for eligibility was electronic. Self-screening, and they gave contact information at the end in a different survey if they wanted to learn more about the study and begin. And then we contacted them.
In terms of sign language, it is the notes. If you click on the notes tab, you can read the transcript. Correct, yeah. So I think in terms of futures, we would like to do more specific segments for example, aging population, youth population, and so on. There's room for that. But it's kind of more HIV 101 level.